The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Minisode 177.
It sucks knowing the camera's on because Alex and I just played to camera.
Yeah.
We offered nothing to the audio listener at all.
No, but you did come through for those $20 tier patrons.
You know what? Thanks. Thank you. I'd come through for the $10,000 tier.
You probably heard my guttural moaning.
Yeah, you were moaning. I did hear it.
So. I didn't hear it.
Welcome to the Minisode. Jesse, you said I want you to start with you because you left me with bated breath. What were you looking up?
So, as you know, I am obsessed with time and the concept of time not even being a thing. And on the website The Conversation, Vivian Lamb wrote an article called "How Logic May Prove Time Doesn't Exist." And as we've discussed on this show many times, the article starts out by saying, like, you know, modern physics suggests time's probably an illusion, and that, you know, for one observer, you might be seeing the future, another might be seeing the past. Time doesn't flow from past to future as we experience it. It's all perception, right?
Right.
Anyway, go back to 1908 when J.M.E. McTaggart, an English philosopher, published a paper arguing, and this is 1908, arguing that really time wasn't a thing and it was really hard to quantify. And so I want to give you kind of the example that was used to set this whole thing up, because this is what people are doing right now. They're using McTaggart's stuff to kind of look at it, but from more of a logical rather than philosophical way. And so I'll just work with me here. So imagine I gave the two of you, or listener at home, or viewer, imagine I gave you a box of cards. Each card has an event on it. We can say that, you know, one card describes 2024. And one card is the death of Queen Victoria.
I want the 9/11 one. I want the 9/11 one.
Sure, we'll give you that one, right? Can be the solar eclipse that's going to happen in 2026, right? The cards get all mixed up. And then you go through and reorder them in a way that you feel represents time. How would you do that?
So what you would assume from oldest to newest.
Okay. Yeah. Like in a line.
Alex, you have any suggestions?
Left to right.
Yeah. Okay.
Or whoever, you know, whatever.
Sure. Read. But I mean, like, yeah, that's the, in your mind, what you've created is called the B series. You pick one card. You place it on the table, place it on the floor, place it on the desk, whatever. Then you take another card, and then you compare it with the one that you already have. Is it earlier? If so, you would put it to the left. And if it's later, you would put it to the right, right? Like, it makes perfect sense.
In order.
Example would be Queen Victoria, and then to the right of that, 2024, and then to the right of that, solar eclipse, right? That kind of vibe.
Right.
And you repeat the process until all the cards are on the table, desk, floor, whatever. That's kind of what you're going for?
Yeah, like a left to right timeline.
I'm trying to see if I can get ahead of you. I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this.
Well,
I'm interested.
Don't worry. We'll arrive together. Again, time is an illusion.
Like, is like our consciousness is getting all these events at once, and we're just like placing them, and we assume
one of the cards
is our
there, goes in that? The hand. One of the cards goes.
Like, this is the thing
card,
though, because he asked. The objective was time, to create time, and as you sit there looking at it, what you've created is static. It's a static set of events. Once the cards are in place, nothing about them changes at all. McTaggart insists you cannot have time without change, which, you know, is the ultimate measure of time. According to physics, it's, you know, the rise of disorder, entropy, in a closed system is time.
Okay.
A hot cup of coffee slowly cooling over time as entropy rises. That is how you can tell that time occurred. The coffee got colder over time,
which is fascinating to think about right now, because space, and with the most recent discoveries out of our universe being like weirdly growing in different directions, throws the idea of entropy at the level we understood it out the window, because it doesn't fit with the model that we understand. Yeah,
it's, but even a clock, which is made for measuring time, really just measures change. The tick is just change. It's pendulum swinging, and it's like cogs
rhythmic,
moving.
Yeah.
And it's just the change of, air quotes, time.
But don't you have to observe the change to for there to be change?
That's what he's saying, is you need to observe. Something needs to – you can't just put stuff down on a table and say this is time. You can't do that.
Okay, how about this then?
An order of events is not time.
How about a comic book?
So if that's the case – what now?
How about like a comic book so that – it's made to be read. So like, if you want to go to page whatever, you go to this, and it's more like it's here. It's just here. I guess it is static, but it's here.
Well, okay. So this would be the A category. So I'll get, so remember, the original thing is you wanted to represent time. And if it doesn't change, it can't be time. So there's something called the A series. And in this one, what you do is, instead of creating a timeline, you're creating piles. Past, present, future. And what happens is you are moving present to past while moving future to present at a constant rate. You're constantly doing that because the present's going to keep moving and the future is approaching. So you are slowly moving things between these piles. The thing about this one, though, is that, yeah, you're clearly moving things, and yeah, it's time is happening, but according to McTaggart, the A series is too circular. Your hand is moving cards from the left-hand pile to the middle, and then to the right, or vice versa, however you have it set up for your past, present, future. And then what ends up happening is, in order to be able to do this, and this is where the circular comes in, you need to be in time to perform the action. So if you already have to be existing in time in order to create the changes, it's a circular way of thinking, and it violates the logic. Like, you haven't created time. You're just existing in time, going through motions.
Right.
It's almost like you're more showing your perception of time.
You're showing yours rather than
time existing. In fact, and that is another fallacy. It's another thing that's incorrect. So what this does is it brings us to today, when you have these so-called atheorists, which are people who are trying to figure out how that time, the circular way of thinking may not actually be circular. And we can work with that. Or there are B theorists, and these people who are like, they have the timeline, and they're like, look, maybe time is just a series of events. And that's the whole thing. There is no time, but it is a series of events. And that's how we mark it, right? And that's there. And then there's also C theorists now who go further and say that a line of cards doesn't have any direction. So literally, if you put a line of cards down like you were doing before, you can look at it from right to left, left to right. You can look at it top to bottom. You can look at it like you can stack them all on top of each other if you want.
Like going back and
there's
and
like,
forth, yeah.
Because there is no time. And so the idea that the year 2024 could go between the death of Queen Victoria and the 2026 solar eclipse, but maybe we're just so used to thinking of the death of Queen Victoria coming before 2026 that we don't even consider the other way around. And so the best way that they described it was, think of it like planks on a fence. You can start from wherever you want and count those planks. Right? There is no order from what, like, sure, right. Someone might have installed the planks, like, one then another. But when you come later, you don't know what order those planks were installed in. You just see the planks. And maybe that's the best way to approach it.
So it's just everything is everything all the time, everything. And the only reason that it even
seems... We just don't know how to quantify it.
So, but the only reason it even seems like anything to anyone is because of who those people are and how they are able to perceive it.
It might be the way just our brains take reality and process it in a way we can understand it.
Yeah.
So again, because that's the other part of it too, is like, we're not seeing reality. We're seeing what our brain is telling us is reality. We're experiencing what our brain tells us is time, the thing, or that, passage of change.
The thing that fucks me up about that, and this is like, you know, not anything new to us, but we were just talking about UAPs, right? And we were talking about the John Oliver episode and all the things that we already know, and how Grush talks about them as like not necessarily
not
extraterrestrials.
Aliens, not extraterrestrials, something
and
then, else.
So I think about like this. I think about like myself sitting at like a campfire, and we're sitting in the middle of, you know, I was just in Las Vegas. We're sitting in the middle of the desert, and we're sitting around a campfire. And the fire's going, and we're listening to stuff. We're hearing like lizards out there, and they're like small, and they're running around through the bushes. And there's a bird flying overhead that we can hear, and it flies over, and we see it, and it lands, and it's doing its own thing up in the air. And there's like, you know, fucking whatever the fuck's going on over here, a train going by in the background. Mm-hmm. Choo-choo, there's a fucking train, a guy on the train doing his thing. And there's all these people everywhere doing all these things all around us in 360 degrees. And maybe underneath us, there's a fucking guy on the other side of the earth taking a shit in his toilet on the other side of the planet or whatever he's doing. And we know about that guy because we understand where he is in relation to us. But what if there's like a wilderness of of perception around us as well, where, you know, we're all in different perceptions of the universe? Like, what if there's a billion as many
certainly
more
you're
forms?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think we, yeah.
But I mean, like, it can be an earthly thing as well. Like, before we even get out to what you're talking about, the perception of time between you and me and that shark that keeps showing up on Reddit that's 367 years old, that's been around since, like, the 1600s or whatever the hell, that dude, his perception of existence is completely different, I would imagine, even though he is a shark, but, like, you know... What is 300 plus years of being a shark like compared to an average 80-ish for humans? You know what right. I mean? Like, that dude is multi-generational for humans. And you know, I think that's one of those things that you often see in sci-fi where species or people that live forever are not in a hurry. There's nothing to regard. They just exist. And time is – usually they're like, I am the Time Lord. They like –
Yeah.
Time is not a thing for right. them.
Time is another dimension they've learned how to navigate.
Exactly. And I think that's super interesting compared to, I think the reason why we're so focused on time is because we've got so little of it in the grand scheme of the universe that we just like are constantly thinking about it when really what we're thinking about is a timeline and entropy, but not like what time is. We're just like, some things happened and some more things are going to happen. Oh, that just happened. Like, what is going to happen tomorrow? We don't have time to settle down and be like, what is the ethereal concept of existence? Like, it's not a thing we do.
Like, but, so it's like the questions, like the extrapolated question I have is like, if this is true, like time isn't real. Is our consciousness reliving time over and over again? Like, do we live a linear perception of what we perceive to be time infinitely?
I think Alex is more right in that we wouldn't understand even if we, like, we're in the wilderness. Yeah. And we can get glimpses of concepts, but we're still surrounded by a forest that's really hard to peer through.
But dude, the real question is, what are...
I just don't want to go through the first 30 years of my life again, that's all.
What does it even mean to stop perceiving that linear flow as something exists? Do you
even
exist?
Something I feel like we're starting. Oh yeah. But that's like, that gets to like the minor breakthroughs we're having through all of science over the past 2 years, both quantum and outside of that with the, you know, the CERN crashing things. Like, it's just like, we are learning on a subatomic level that, okay, time in like relativity is utterly not, it's nothing. It's meaningless. Like, because quantum things can be the same no matter how far away they are apart. Like, the time does not matter to them. There's no time to send their signal to the other one before they're now the same, spinning in the same direction as the other one. You know,
the only reason why we understand time on a personal level is because we watch ourselves get older. But that's not time. That's just entropy and like cells degrading. So yeah. At its core, if you could prevent the cell degradation, then what is time then?
If you're immortal, yeah, what is time?
Like what?
Well, I imagine.
I mean, like if you shed your body and you become like a being of light, what is time then?
But what if you just physically stop your cells for aging, but you're still in your body? I imagine you would still experience time in a linear way.
I think it would have to be a long societal change, because if we all just stopped aging, right, we would continue to go through the motions of existence, and things would happen. We mark dates and we do things, but it would take generations of people to be like, why are we even doing this?
Isn't
like, why are we having another 4th of July? Like, what does
isn't
it matter?
That, isn't that what we're already doing?
Kind of, yeah.
Little bit.
Like, are we aging? Haven't we already aged? Aren't we just something that aged? Aren't we part of one infinite moment that does
Dude, you don't have that thought every fucking day of like, I try to consciously try to like perceive time moving in any way, but it's because like, well, if I break it down logically, if time is moving forward, then life is just a series of infinite still moments that my brain is stringing together as like a thing that's smooth. But I'm
like, you're already too late. Then? Like, yeah, that's the already, thing is I'm like your eyes not even seeing the present, dude.
No.
Like, it takes milliseconds for you to process. So like everything is the past.
Yeah, you're always seeing the past. And nothing you're not seeing
if time doesn't exist and everything's just there, nothing is anything and we're not, and everything's everything, even Neon Genesis Evangelion.
But I don't want to be like a red goop person. You know what I mean? Like,
no, you are though. It's more just that we're all the same. We're all literally the exact same thing.
And I often wonder if time is like the thing where, or rather, our consciousness experiences infinite lifetimes within this, you know, 80 years that we have here. I wonder if there's any minute differences, like through just random little things that change. Is it always the same, or is it chaos? And every time you go through consciousness cycle, it's like things can be anything. I'm a podcaster this time, but I was a banker last time.
I think Alex is right.
It's more multiverse. Yeah, like everything's happening. Thing.
It's literally like you are existing at the exact same moment as Julius Caesar. And the exact same moment as John Smithington in the year 3000. We're all layered on top of each other, and
is time static then? Does that mean that time has already happened?
No, time is a quantitative measuring unit
So what you're saying is time doesn't exist.
Time is a thing we created. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Right. It does exist. It just describes something different than what we're saying.
So, because they describe the fourth dimension as time, but if time does not exist, does that mean the fourth dimension no longer exists? Or is the fourth dimension space-time?
The fourth dimension is like the nature of that thing that you're talking about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Time is, at some point in our past, a bunch of like, you know, thousands of years ago, dudes were like, the sun goes up, the sun comes down. That's a day. And then they were like, maybe we can measure the sun. And like, the sun do this on a sundial. And then over time, we created time. Like, that's a thing we made.
Out of things that were changing.
Yeah, it's happening around us. We created to measure what goes on in our daily lives, to measure our days, to give us... Like, we went from minutes to seconds to milliseconds. We like so everything became like we got to really fine tune time.
Did we even remember?
So they're
stuff?
Saying that, right? At first? Are we even the same person that we were when
what
we were 10
I mean
years
is,
old?
Did
no.
we even remember
no.
stuff? Did we even have the concept of remembering stuff? Did we even realize that we had stuff to remember at first? You know what I'm saying?
I will say eventually that became like our whole thing. And my favorite history fact is that back in the day, ancient Greek scholars were furious about writing. They're like, if kids these days don't memorize things and they start writing, they'll never remember anything. So I just want to say I love that. I think it's amazing. It's a very good factoid.
Humanity's the same no matter where we are.
Remembering
in time.
Shit just think about the idea of not understanding time existing and trying to figure out what remembering is. It's not possible. It's just
what I know what drives me crazy is that, like, what I want to know what that implies. What does it have me, time not existing? We can never know.
It has like demarcation things for us. So if you think about a memory, your memory is the smell or the sight or the moment or the feeling. But then your follow-up is that thing that I remember happened insert time.
Yes. Yep.
Because all it allows us to sort of quantify things for ourselves.
Stardate.
But it forces us to live within time.
Linearly. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to perceive it as a sequence. But
it's not how it should be. It's just it is what it is.
If you were to ask Glipglorp, took the shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. If you were to ask Alpha Centauri Glipglorp, I guarantee he'd have a different concept of what time is.
I'm just going to
take
that.
You may not have one at all.
I'm just going to extrapolate onto something. Like, you know, like a lot of when people are slowly passing and they start seeing family members is very common amongst people who are passing. Yes. What if it's their consciousness just slipping back and forth until
there's no more perception.
Even if it's not as in depth as that, even if it's just endorphins or something flooding your brain to make you feel good before you die, the concept that it pulls things from your brains, like the image of your parents or something from when they were younger that you would have only remembered
talking to them.
Yeah, that is, it's all up there. So why don't you think about that all the time? Right. Like there's a lot of like crazy stuff that goes on with
project a hallucination when we want, you know what
I
mean?
But that's your brain and your brain is doing all sorts of crazy shit that we barely even touch. We don't think about that.
I think we're going to find that the actual secrets of the universe that if they ever exist are like at the nexus, not just of like math and like existence and stuff like that, but also like imagination and language and like magic and stuff like that. And like what you can do in terms of control and stuff, because like the thing that's,
it'll make I think it'll just make the phrase perception is reality. Like
if you think about perception as a moment measured in like a moment of entropy measured by a system that the moment of entropy created, and the moment that if time doesn't exist, it just perceives a moment in a linear way instantly, and that's all we are. Like, what the hell is language to that moment? How does language work? There's some sort of divinity to it. There's some sort of not something scientific,
and I know
as
you don't
we
mean
know
like,
it,
yeah.
but something that's scientific but beyond what we can comprehend as a quantity or an idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that issue of like we have to, you know,
consciousness,
the more we even look
itself.
Into like physics as we understand them, something that was such a solid brick, we learn falls apart the smaller you go. Yeah. You know, I'm like, what happens when you go macro? What happens when you go bigger than us? Like, what changes?
Consciousness
what physics
itself
change? Like,
is just the moment noticing itself.
We are the universe experiencing itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine being a universal consciousness. So like, you know, everything's,
you know,
like there's nothing there to experience. How are you going to experience it? Then you're going to have to break yourself up and make yourself forget.
But I mean, that's a theory though, dude. That is
legitimately 100%. I know
the
theory
of like universal consciousness. Like if there's a universe consciousness, then every one of us is a part of it experiencing something for the universe.
Yeah.
Like, that's a theory that exists.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and so we're like reporting back at the end, like, yeah, so that was an experience. And the universe is like, cool.
We're not even reporting back. It just happens.
Go back to
the fact that we see it at all. The fact that we perceive it once, it's a joke. It's not anything. It just happened. All of it happened at once.
Sure.
It's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing. It's everything.
There's some sort of like solace I find in that, though. There's something about being able to not understand reality. As much as it drives me crazy, also gives me comfort of like this. There's things that like we just don't understand. And maybe we will one day. It's not like something that's, I'm not saying magic, but like it's just beyond our understanding.
It sounds slightly insane to say it, but like it begins at the idea of what you were talking about. Not being like you can't control it. We can't, like, it's, why worry about it? Why stress about it? But then if you keep going down that path, eventually it leads to, like, all right, well, if you can't control this thing, then it can't get to you. And if it can't get to you, then you block off, like, you free yourself from that. Yeah. And eventually you're literally at, like, Matrix levels where it's like, you don't need to dodge the bullets. You can just stop them.
Yeah, right.
Because you're literally just like, and I think that's the process of freeing yourself from time, which is just like, I don't exist. Okay. It is impossible in the world we live in, mind you.
It might just be
like,
death.
You know, yeah, but yeah. Maybe just the concept afterlife. Of like, what is time, bro? Like, who knows? We'll never know.
It's amazing how those kinds of concepts, even at a higher level, always come back to the point is to just live in the now, because that's all that's real. All that's real is right now. The seconds that Jesse just talked, they're not real anymore. Like, you process them as real.
I've already forgotten them. They're gone.
Yeah. You remember them as real, but they're not here now. They're not here. It's like, and that's what's frustrating about time is like,
and that's the biggest, I think, downfall for most people is the moment happened, it's over, and I'm going to stress and be upset about it and be furious about it. And I'm going to think about it and I'm going to do something stupid about it. When in reality, it's like, that moment happened. There was nothing you could have done to stop that in that moment. You have to let yourself go of that because it's gone. It, like, passed.
That is the most freeing thing, I think, to learn growing up is the idea of, like, you actually can control so very little in your life, but you can control how you react to how life happens.
And your reaction
around you.
Based on just this logic is like, yo, let that shit go. Like, let it
to each other.
Die.
Enjoy,
like,
life.
Let it into the ether, because it's gone. It is literally gone. You're not going back. There's no time machine.
Taste some chorizo, bro. Have a fucking glass of gin. Fucking vibe out. That's what I was talking about,
like,
when I said I liked ham
cool
that one time.
As shit. It's also like the idea of time not being existing beyond, like, the implications of living your life. It's also fucking cool. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. It's just like, reality is fucking wild.
It's impossible.
The fact that
doesn't make any sense.
That there is reality.
Right, yeah.
He's trippy as shit. Like,
what if we're just a simulation? You know,
dude, if we're a simulation,
doesn't matter.
Trippy
doesn't matter,
as hell,
right?
Yeah, like, I can't believe it exists.
Yeah, you know,
glad to be a part of it.
Descartes.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
There's a simulation that can give me emotions. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you follow this story? I know.
What do you got, Alex?
I was going to
end it there. Let's just end it.
I'm fine with that. I have nothing that's worth talking about after that. We talked about literally everything just now.
Yeah. No, that was like,
we talked about literally everything
concept.
That ever existed. We just talked about it just now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what more things we discover as science continues to experiment.
I think we solved the whole thing.
We did it. We solved Zodiac and we solved reality.
Yeah. Dude. Get fucked. This is the best mini-show
of all
time.
You just gotta the Martian your way through life.
Yeah,
and be good to everybody. Be fucking good to people.
Minisode, what is it? 177?
77, yeah. All done.
Mini 177 crew. I was there. What's up?
What's up? We're there. We're changed people now. We're all changed people. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for your support here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back, my little Chiluminauts, to episode 178.
I can't fight you guys because I'm chewing on candy.
Yep.
This is terrible.
I gave you a countdown, boy. I gave you one, all right?
It's delicious British candy. I couldn't help it.
To those who can actually see the video, you guys like my new little background? It was a birthday present from some of my friends.
A little alien guy?
It's a little cow being abducted by a UFO.
That's your dream. That's
a solid dream.
That's coming out. It's
you wish you were that cow.
It's touching your head because it's coming, kind of coming out of your head as your dream.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's unfortunate. Yeah. It is more of my mind's creation than reality.
Shout outs to anybody who went into a store and purchased that for you and like got it like mounted or whatever they did on the wall like that. That's great. That looks fantastic.
I just want to say, I think we have the best backgrounds in podcasting. Alex has a dragon head in the background with like weird crafties. I love that.
Yeah.
Mathis has his UFO thing. I literally have a sign that says "fuck to death."
Yeah, that's true.
We are doing it.
You can't see enough of my comic collection to tell that I have a serious problem. It's nice. It just seems like a sensibly sized.
Yeah, having been in that room, ladies and gentlemen, too far.
Ladies and gentlemen, having been in that room, this man has a comic obsession. There is two walls.
I just read a lot of
filled
comic
with comics.
I've read them for a long time, and so naturally, after a while, they tend to pile up. That's all.
I think
I'm
it's
saying.
Cool. I think it's
like Mathis has his games collection.
Yeah, it's the same thing here, and I have another whole ass room with collection of like SNES stuff, and I have a CRT TV all set up. I was playing Link to the Past last night, actually, hanging out with my cat.
I love your little
library of comics.
So many. Mm-hmm. If you ever,
and I know I can reach out to you and be like, I have a comic question. You're either going to know or even own the comic of what I'm asking.
If any mutual out there wants to come read some comic books, please, it will make me feel better about my life choices. So if you're my mutual and you follow us on Patreon and you're listening to this, call me.
That's going to be a Patreon new goals, a new comic book podcast.
Would you ever open a comic shop, Alex?
Would I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I would be great at it.
What if we opened one and then we had a podcast place in the back where we did the show, dude?
It's not
a little comic book shop in studio
crazy.
Combo. That's kind of
sick. Little coffee action, maybe.
Yeah.
We do our own live shows there.
Yeah.
Please don't bring the coffee near the comics, but.
Bro, that sounds like it's so expensive to do, but God, that would be amazing.
Could we? I'm just saying, could we change?
That would get me to move to LA. That would move me to LA.
I don't even know that we need. Man, I'm just saying, could we change the ridiculous $10,000 thing?
Yeah.
Instead of Jesse believing your nonsense, it's like you have paid in to the greatest comic book shop, Shilluminati Podcast Center ever.
Yeah. You're chipping into a dream.
The Shilluminati. It's just called Shilluminati is really what it is, because that's a great name for a shop that sells like comic books and has podcasts in the back. And like, maybe you can do your laundry there. Maybe there's a coffee counter. I don't know. Something like that.
We need to become millionaires. Our ideas are good.
We're good.
And sound. And we'd have to have millions because I don't know if we'd make rent.
That's what I'm like right now. Shop. I'm already kind of like, just like, you know, I make rent. You know, it's good.
Shout outs to everybody who uses the laundromat still. If you paid for your laundry every time, you're a real one.
I did that for the first 6 months I was living out here. Like, you just got to. Sometimes you just got to. That'd be great. A little Shilluminati shop, maybe not impossible in another 5 or 10 years. We'll see. You got to keep growing the show a little bit.
I have a story from our UFOs that was posted today and that I thought was just so good that.
Okay.
Real quick
before our UFOs.
Okay.
We have to tell Mathis this because it's so disappointing. We went to do another podcast that Alex and I do at Star Wars Day. We went to a comic book shop.
Smart.
We did a whole podcast. That was so much fun. But next door to the place was a coffee shop themed around Sasquatch.
And first of all, shout out Golden Apple Comics. Second of all, we're not going to mention the name of this coffee shop, but it is themed for Sasquatch.
Yeah. And went inside, many coffees, and one of them was called a cryptid coffee.
Cryptid latte.
Yeah, it was a latte. It was cryptid latte. I was so excited. I was like, what is in the cryptid latte? Literally, the dude just goes, food coloring.
He was like, he looked Jesse right in the eyes, like, sweetly, and was like, just food coloring.
Oh, I was so upset.
It's so sad, bro.
It sucks.
You got to do something special, like a special blend or a little bit of a flavor mix.
Food coloring.
I do want to say that it hurt my brain to go into Golden Apple after so long. I haven't been there. I go to the Comic Bug instead. It's not a rivalry thing. It's just which one is closer to my house thing.
Yeah, convenience.
But it broke my brain because first of all, it used to be a lot larger in a time when people actually did buy print magazines in Los Angeles. It was like double the size that it was that it is now. But the thing that was fucked up was that like they alphabetize everything together. Like all the comics together,
so not genre separate or
like Marvel, DC, wow, independent comics, just A to Z, which like you got to respect in a way, right? Like you got to respect that from like, if I was like a ancient librarian, I would be all about that.
Yeah, but from like a browsing understand. Like standpoint, that makes it so much more difficult.
It just messes me up because like those comic publishers name their comics in a way that makes them easy to peruse a lot of the time. Sure. At least a little bit. And they just, it just looks wrong. And if you want to know what it's like to be in a nice, clean, curated comic book shop, come to my house, Mutuals. Come to my house and read my comics, please. And I'll make you a reading list, please. Tell me what you want to know about and I'll teach you.
Ooh, what if it was a coffee place that just had comics?
Are you trying to help me monetize my giant comic book collection?
I'm just, I'm not putting out ideas.
Is it the biggest one that you've seen in real life?
Collection of comics? Yeah. Really? By far.
Everybody, for sure. COVID is wild, man. COVID was a wild thing. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it was. It was very wild. It's like COVID's when the bulk of my PC game collection really grew.
Yeah, absolutely insane.
So what happened on our UFOs?
Okay, this one's called My Brother-in-Law Just Experienced Contact of the Third Kind.
Okay.
This is by Sonic Duskar. My brother-in-law was on his way to Joshua Tree National Park, California, recently, and finally mustered up the courage to speak about this to my husband and I tonight when he came over to drop something off to my husband. He hesitated because he was scared that we'd think he was crazy or making things up, but he's honestly never the person to lie. He's the most trustworthy person, and in all of the time I have known him, he has never once kept anything from my husband and I, nor told any lies, and he has no reason to. He was genuinely so freaked out to his core, and we know he's telling the truth. He's never had this look on his face before. He was driving alone in his car to go stargaze late at nighttime. He's an astronomy buff. When everything flashed and he saw a very close, super bright white light hovering maybe 200 feet in front of his car. He slowed down. And again, this is in Joshua Tree, which is a particularly flat sort of
desolate
Martian looking desert with those Joshua trees everywhere. And as he got closer, he realized what looked to be a metallic cigar shaped object. Once he speeded past it, he noticed that it began to slowly follow him from his rearview mirror, stopping at times before zigzagging closer and closer as if it were stalking him like prey, slowly getting ready to pounce.
This reminded me, I had a fucking UFO dream last night, and it was about a fucking Tic Tac UFO. It was a metallic.
Did you just like holy pull this fuck out of your brain just now?
You just reminded me, because I woke up today. The thing I remember about it is it wasn't smooth. The plating was like layered. It was like a layered metal plating across the Tic Tac.
Like Howl's Moving Castle?
Nothing like how they actually are described. It just felt like, weird, like layered metal, like square
hammered
chunks.
Like hammered tin or like Disney's Avengers?
More hammered tin.
I love that.
Yeah, very weird.
Interesting.
But yeah, has nothing to do with how Tic Tacs usually look.
Say the dream if you're thinking of it so you don't forget.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I remember. That's pretty much it. But yeah, go ahead.
I was a Joshua Tree, and there I was.
I was
playing
an
alien video game last night, so that's probably why.
Oh, yeah. He said that he felt super freaked out at this point, and everything in his car suddenly felt charged with a huge amount of static electricity out of left field. All of his hair was sticking up, head, arms, entire body, and when he would touch his dashboard or other parts of the car, he would get shocked. He said he felt like he was being watched and followed. He'd never been so scared in his life, and he immediately knew that this was not something of this earth. He went from full-on non-believer to legitimately believing that he was going to get abducted, but managed to convince himself that he was crazy during the encounter. It was as if an energy got lassoed onto his car and felt his car shaking and almost getting pulled towards the hovering object. He was struggling to get his car to move fast enough, but he was finally able to get it to stop acting weird. This is when he floored the pedal and went Autobahn speeds out of there. For a little bit of context for the casual reader who does not know, and this is just Alex talking now, hello. The Autobahn is a freeway that doesn't, through urban legend, does not have a speed limit. The static electricity flowing through his entire car then slowly subsided. It's in Germany. All night, he still felt he was being followed and watched, even with the craft far out of sight and long gone. I went there for a month when I was 18 because my girlfriend was an exchange student. When he arrived back home, his car began locking and unlocking itself throughout the night in his garage, making the lock honk and unlock honk for hours. I got an ear infection that almost caused me permanent deafness, and I came home after a month on New Year's Day. It was one of the worst months of my life. His keys were literally on his bedside table and he was not pressing it. He went to investigate and could actually hear and see the door locks clicking up and down. It got to the point where he bent down and checked under and around his car for any possible tracking devices. Nothing. This girl also went on a class trip and broke up with me via text and then left me on read for the entire class trip. And then her mom came up with me. His car began doing the same thing suddenly when he was at our place telling us about it. My husband got so freaked out that he tried to end the topic of conversation. Now he's asleep and I am unable to. This freaked me out to the core, and we now genuinely believe that my brother-in-law is currently being monitored by whatever it was he encountered that night. Also, her dad had cheated on her mom recently, and so he was downstairs with a parrot named Jacob, and so it was a weird situation in the house. He's too terrified to report as of right now. We're trying to get him to. It all happened so fast that he did not get any video evidence. He said we was on fight or flight mode and that he is still traumatized from that. We told him we knew he was telling the truth and believed him. He sighed with relief, but by the end of his story, his face was pale and he looked like he had the life completely drained out of him. My husband and I also saw a bunch of fireballs hovering in the sky a few months back and have not seen that or been able to explain it since either. And I don't know if you guys know this, but if you go to the doctor in Germany, you know, they're not going to speak English probably, which is probably a scarier thing than you imagine. And when you, especially when you're 17, like me. Anyway, I don't know what to say or do, I guess, other than tell the story. And I tell you that this is all very super real and it's very horrifying. He's telling the truth. It's time for disclosure. That's where the message actually ends. But I want to just continue and read an edit here real quick because I thought this
I was about to say, what were the comments on that?
So edit one. It's sad to see a lot of the people in these comments telling me that this is just some made-up story. It sounds like fan fiction just because it's written well. Your words. It goes to show how society is taking steps back when people are more likely inclined to believe someone with less literacy. I am a writer. It is my writing style. I know how to organize my sentences. You people in specific saying these things are the reason why more people don't come forward with their stories. This is written too well. Must be fake. Do you realize how horrifically dumb that sounds? I don't expect everyone to believe me, but I swear by all that I have that this story is true. It did happen, and I am also going to be able to be I'm also going to be posting this in other subs that I did not know existed until reading the comments. And then edit number two, thank you so much for those who didn't dismiss my brother-in-law's story. It truly brings me hope again. I'm going to continue to share this story and get it out there. As for his reporting the encounter, he's unsure about what he wants to do yet. I'm gathering as the hours go by that he may possibly have some sort of trauma from this experience, and I don't want to push him to do anything, so I'll let him make that decision on his own. As for the dash cam footage, I'll do my best to grab that from him and share it. I didn't expect this post to blow up, yada, yada, yada. No word back yet from OP about that footage. But this is young. This is from today. So pretty interesting.
The only thing that makes me go, huh, is that he doesn't want to share it, but she's willing to like blast it on Reddit everywhere. And if she gets the footage, you know, putting that out there feels like the opposite of.
Well, I mean, at least he doesn't have to relive. At least he doesn't have to relive it in that case. Right. We're just looking at evidence. And
it's
honestly,
possible. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and honestly, like, the thing I appreciate about this story that was fun for me is that it's just, like, a full-on one. Like, they didn't try to write, like, a, like, more human, like, less cinematic one. This is, like, if you imagine an alien showing up behind you and trying to lasso you with a tractor beam, this is exactly what it would be like, which is awesome. You know what I mean? Like, if that happened, that's,
it's
like,
very, very cool sounding. Like, it's interesting. And again, it's it did bring me back to Betty and Barney Hill when their car came back and they like the sister came over with the compass and put it on and like it would just spin because it was like a little like static charged. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Jesse. You were going
to
say something.
I really quickly just want to say you can attack things and discredit things based on the like what it is, but don't do it on the quality of the text because this is what I deal with when I go through Reddit all the time. And I save this from last night because even though it's nothing to do with us, it was hilarious. And I was like, oh, my God. An actual post where someone's complaining about like the un-Americanness of some people in this country.
Another country? You know,
they have a favorite president. I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, this person says those sites that prompt their lazy un-UN space American God space less imbecile spelled E-M-B-A-S-E-L-S.
Jesus Christ.
What once only to be taking care of. We the people will enjoy sending themselves to a constitutional re-education 101. That's a post someone made And I just want to let you know, that I feel like is what we're doing. When people are like, do you write like a book? I'm like, no, that person writes like a person who like learned to write.
Who can read a book. Is your favorite president Andrew Jackson? Is that what you were going to say?
That's what I was going to say. Andrew Jackson.
Or was it, my second guess was going to be Biff Tannen. Is that right?
I think actually really good. Biff Tannen. Yeah.
That's wild. And I agree. It's just like fucking. And also, it's impressive that that man or woman, whoever wrote that comment, could write it like that with a literal phone that is a computer that will go out of its way to fix the spelling on your like every word.
You know what's funny too?
How did that happen?
You know what's funny too is like you can go after this guy for being like erudite in his writing or like have like good syntax, or maybe it's just a way to make him feel bad because you can't read what he wrote, you know? But at the same time, you turn around and you come to shows like this one, where another guy who is just a guy, me or Mathis or Jesse, like takes the time to write out like as beautifully and as eloquently as we can, write out an outline to like tell you a story that you then I assume are listening to because you want to know what happened and you're respecting it because it's easier to listen to and better written. So what is the logic there other than that you feel dumb because you
can't people
read.
Are left to reading it in their own heads and giving it the connotation and intonation that they think it has when it doesn't.
This like almost goes in my topic. I'm very hyped.
Let me break the mine's a very quick one. It's a classic throwback. This is a golf a security cam video ghost thing that is actually very impressive. So this is coming from a Texas hotel. It's an old hotel called the Jefferson Hotel. This is on their YouTube channel from 2 weeks ago.
Is the Jefferson in San Antonio?
I think so. Let me check.
Is this Jefferson the one that is famous because the Rough Riders stayed there?
No. That's a different one. I stayed in that one. Let's see. The Jefferson Hotel, Texas. Sorry, not the DC one. There's multiple. Historic Jefferson is in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas. Okay, so I'm going to send you guys a link to the video in the chat here.
Back.
And what we're seeing here, they just post it, and they say it's poltergeist activity and disembodied voice. He's going to see a security guy working on something late at night, and then he hears what he says is footsteps, and then you're going to hear a voice. It's all going to happen within 11 seconds of the video, so just about. So here is the
link. Where's that link? There it is. Okay.
I don't know what he's working on.
Okay, so he's like at his desk here. It looks like he's working on like an old-timey robot.
What? Okay. So yeah, he's working on something.
His reaction is the best.
His reaction is so realistic. Like just
here's what
system that's all that processing happens, though.
So basically he's working on something that looks like, I don't know, one of those batteries not included little robot droids. And he's sitting at a desk, and there's a bunch of equipment on that desk. And one of the things on that desk appears to be either a tube of caulk or
a bottle of glue.
Bottle of glue. And there's a noise, it's like, and then the bottle of glue falls over. And that's really all you can see.
Yep, it sounds like hello or some other word, but it's really like it's too muddled to make it out for sure. Whatever it sounds like it might be saying, it sounds like a little kid voice. And again, he says what he heard footsteps in the hallway.
And maybe that's why he looks there. Yeah,
that's exactly why he turns around, because he said he heard footsteps in the hallway and went to go check. There was nobody there because he's overnight security right now. This is like late at night.
The reaction is $1 million.
Like, yeah, the reaction is a legit. I like that is how I react to things where if something weird happens, instead of freak out, I just stare at it like, what the hell? And his head turned to be like, what?
He froze for like 3 seconds. He slowly turned his head and then he slowly got up and like looking around. And it's the most realistic reaction to like something like this happening that I've ever seen on camera. The guy's just like, the only
kind of problem I have with this, the only thing that works against it for me is number one, like, I could fake this very easily.
Yep, the glue's off camera.
But also, like, every other video on this YouTube channel is evidence of a ghost also for three straight years.
Fair enough. I have not looked at its video.
Which,
so
honestly, like, I was talking about today when Dodger was on the show about the Nuke's Top 5 test, where you just want to show somebody, like, a middle-of-the-road sort of, like, horror clips channel to see how they react and see what kind of Jedi they are. But like, the thing that's so funny is like the biggest convincer for me for like paranormal footage that's like from YouTube is when the channel is like not a haunting channel. Like when it's not a haunting channel, when there's like a thousand videos on the channel of somebody driving around America and one time in the woods they saw a fucking ghost, that shit is scary as fuck.
I will
say 10 times more scary.
To this channel's credit, is it seems like it's very irregular. Like the last video was 4 months ago, then it was six, then seven, then it goes.
Yeah, they're
like
definitely
eight
not like
10.
Trying to hit an SEO.
They're not a YouTuber,
schedule.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and there's the oldest one is 3 years ago, and that's right at down to the bottom. There's not that many videos, so it's not something they're like pumping out for like PR. It seems like it's just whenever something weird happens on their camera footage, they throw it out there. But it is a channel exclusively of weird shit that's supposedly happened in their
hotel.
And
old hotels are basically the original ghost YouTubers anyway. So
Yeah. So I thought it was a great little, it's like one of the better ghost videos I've seen in a long, long time. And
that
was
that
just,
guy's reaction really sells
it's his reaction a whole 100%.
Yeah. And if you guys can see me acting all weird right now, I just, if in the video version of this, my neck is just killing me. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be okay. Don't worry. We're just creaky old tree men now. It's okay. We're going to make it.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse, take us out of here with what you've got.
So this is an article by Thomas Hendricks that is in relation to something called catastrophizing and why people do it. And I love this article. Sure. I'm just going to like use quotes from it all the time. Yeah. I think it's so neat.
Things that people with high anxiety do all the time.
So catastrophizing is the act of fixating on the worst possible outcome in a situation, even when that outcome is extremely unlikely. Now, this isn't something that is like anxiety or depression. Like this is something that most people, I would say all, but I can't say that for sure. Most people in their lives, this will happen to you. And it's something you can't really control. Maybe you can. I don't know. That's kind of what the article is getting at. So
I wonder if it's like, you know, part of it is like an evolutionary thing of like trying to keep us alive. So we always are thinking of the worst. But now we live in a society where like that aspect isn't needed, but it's not evolved out of our brains yet. So
it's still all psychological. This article is great. Yeah. I'm just going to like, this is really cool.
Go ahead.
So the author writes that his brother and wife had separated and that his father tried calling. But when his brother didn't pick up, the father convinced himself that the son killed himself when really he was just out with friends, right?
Yeah.
One of the most common things on the internet today is people to post on Reddit, which we're just talking about, my girlfriend or my boyfriend went out to the club with their friends and I just know they're cheating, right?
Oh, yep, yep.
And they're like, ditch him, hurt him.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, what a scumbag.
Shoot him.
And rather than like have a conversation, you know? Psychologists studying this topic emphasize techniques to control our negative thought spirals on things like this. We're told to acknowledge that bad things do happen, but to inquire into their likelihood. We should make ourselves consider the variety of outcomes in a situation, not just the one that depresses us. We should stay specific and try to avoid generalizing or exaggerating. We should stay in the present as much as possible and avoid dramatic leaps into the future or the past. Sometimes we should just tell ourselves, stop. So, you know, maybe exercise or sleep or whatever, attend to other body needs. But like, why do we do this? By preparing ourselves for the worst, Thomas Hendricks writes, by preparing ourselves for the worst, even if it's in some far-fetched fantasy, we ready our psyche for the shock that is to come. When those negative expectations aren't fulfilled, we experience a mild satisfaction, a win of sorts. When they do,
that's true.
We, you know, like a great example says, when they do happen, perhaps the dreaded fourth quarter collapse of our favorite sports team, we've already gone public with the prediction and the prerequisite emotions.
So you're like, I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, you've already done it. You've gone through
and
it.
And so it lessens the impact on it. You're not blindsided because you made the hot guess that like, I knew that they were cheating on me. I knew he died. Oh, like you're in there already. And if it doesn't happen, it's a win.
If it doesn't happen, you obsess over it until you self-fulfill it somehow, I feel like, is another way it can go.
I mean, but I think that's more of the like anxiety or like it's more the psychosis part of it.
Yeah.
Where if you obsess over it, like most people, they'll have a thing, there'll be an outcome, and then they're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people, though, that like it's still a thing that is, you know, a lot of people who get obsessed, like, what is your partner doing? It's because a previous trauma affected them in such a way that they, that's all I can think about. It's like, what is my partner doing? And so I think that's interesting. But most things we do connect to our understanding of our own identity, Hendrix writes. Worrying and complaining are, at one level, ways of drawing attention to the self and secretly asking for support. How does this translate to people who make crazy predictions and the such? Things we've talked about on this podcast. If you're talking about the end of the world or the collapse of the economy or whatever, we tend to think of catastrophizes as these like lone malcontents, but typically they issue their warnings to others, ideally so that they then receive support from people thinking like, yeah, no, you got, I'm with you. I'm with you. And if the worst does occur, they want to be remembered as someone who was ahead of the curve and they predicted the things that transpired. Really, it's just people looking to establish bonds with like-minded thinkers in these scenarios. And what if a group, you know, developed around, and this is actually really funny, I love this bit. What if a group developed around the concern of vaccinations and how they might be dangerous to children?
Right.
That might lead to meetings that share information and plan strategies, and formal ties, including friendships, might develop. The group might formalize and spread its influence. Leadership positions might occur. And then other recognition. The thing that like we kind of all want comes from that.
Right.
And then he goes on to say what we had a whole episode on it.
To Project 2025.
Yeah, somehow. What happens to groups that their direst predictions, you know, the end of civilization, fail to occur? As Leon Festinger and his colleagues argued in a classic book, the failure prophecy leads to cognitive dissonance, which we talked about. The misalignment of cherished beliefs. That said, humans were far too ingenious to be trapped by logic. Just because we predicted a thing and it didn't occur doesn't mean it won't occur, right? That's why we say things like, you know, a divorce that happens 20 years later is still a divorce. A heart attack can still be a heart attack waiting to happen. Right. And so we set ourselves up to lessen pain, basically. And that's what this is.
We're like too tough. We're like too hard to like just be real about it. So we just like kind of do it in like a casual way so that we don't have to like admit we're scared, really.
Yeah. And what it does a lot of the time, you take your fears, you make them public, and then other people have the same fears. Now you have a friend. You have we can talk about this, and it makes you feel better.
That's
it's the same reason why a lot of people
the most dangerous thing about the internet right there.
Yeah.
Dude, I was going to literally say it's one of the greatest and most dangerous things about the internet is that people who were in like, say, like, you know, hyper anime lovers, like, you know, time where the internet didn't exist and it came to and you finally find other people that, you know, you didn't grow up around, sick. But also it amplifies echo chambers on all sides where you can just fall into a hole of just yes men and not realizing that's what you're surrounded by.
Yeah, I mean,
look at every canceled celebrity who like goes away and like gets new friends that like suddenly they turn alt-right or some weird thing.
Yep.
It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you see online, especially like QAnon stuff, is people had some ideas, they had some worries, they were freaking out about like, we don't like this. And then more people jumped in and more people jumped in. And then suddenly they're reading codes in messages from random, and they're just completely bought in to the point 100%. Where you're like, do you not understand how absolutely crazy that is? But they don't, because this is the first time they felt respected and the things that they've have concerns over are being addressed. And it's comforting to people in a way that I don't think we ever think about. And so instead of just being like, that person's crazy, it's like, that person was just like in need of some support, and we all failed that person, and that person found support in a place they shouldn't have.
And that's what makes extremists easy to like court a lot of the time, is because they're vulnerable. And that goes to that cult thing where like the other part of it is, you know, the cult always has the answer, and so they do the opposite of what you should do, and they have the answer, and then they look for evidence that the answer is correct and confirm it, instead of doing the other way around of looking
at Zodiac
was
about.
The evidence everything and then looking at that and coming to a conclusion. But if you already have the answer, then you can hold on to that in a comfort secure way, and you can look for reasons no matter how out there or like, you know, one out of a million or whatever it is, like they are. And that goes into the cult mentality, and I feel like that's a key moment in switching from, you know, community to cult, is when that becomes your thought process instead of critical
thinking. It's like a retreat from reality.
Because reality is scary.
Yeah.
And at its core, we all stress over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. Like and rather than sitting there and stewing on it, if you can like let that out in some way, like go for a walk. Yeah. Like close your eye, like chill.
Let me recommend also like punk rock music, not even necessarily chill things.
Yeah,
like, ways to express. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like doing my thing and like playing through Linkin Park was like 14-year-old me, like taking over my body and just being like raging so hard. Like
exactly.
There's other ways.
It feels different.
In the end, got me through a breakup.
You.
I'm just letting you know.
That's so funny.
Linkin Park got me through a breakup.
Oh, hell yeah, bro. Which one? Meteora, Hybrid Theory?
Hybrid Theory.
All of them? the first. Yeah.
Hybrid
Theory.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Life, man. What a ride. Just enjoy it. That's all. You don't need to look for answers.
Man,
all right?
The Illuminati minisodes are deep.
deep in the
real.
Neck.
These last couple ones have been pretty serious, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of cool fucking reality-shaking scientific discoveries have happened, too.
Science like, so rules, like, man. It's cool.
Science is sick.
True. Science all rules. Right.
We're out of here. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode 250 next week.
Yay! We're good.
Quarter of a thousand.
Nothing special for it.
Quarter of a thousand. Get out of here.
We'll see you guys next week. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.